At this time, I'll go through the instructions one more time and then we'll get started. You should have received an email earlier this afternoon with instructions on how to log into the notes for today's conference. If you didn't receive that, you can email me directly at administrator@marketingexperiments.com. You can also just point your web browser directly to metgroups.com/ME_research_. And that will take you to a page with notes for today's conference, which we will ask you to refresh a few times throughout the conference. Again, that URL is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And that you should also email with that URL in it. If you don't have that, one last time, my email address is administrator@marketingexperiments.com. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. We're going to get started. Let me just give you, well, welcome everybody, and move right into the material. The only thing I'd like to do, first of all, is to remind you that coming up, we're going to be looking at optimizing pay-per-click campaigns for subscription sites on June 16th and on July 7th. Optimizing your website's landing pages, July 21st, long copy versus short copy. This is a critical study, and the results are not in yet, and I'm quite interested in it. Over the years, I've been tracing which works more effectively, long copy or short copy, in terms of the length of your page when putting together your offer. And that will be a conference coming up also. We have scheduled this month and next month four more conferences and eight reports that you should be receiving, briefs and summary reports. Also, don't forget that we have the major conference in November, and in that conference we're going to be working with a number of the key people here to optimize things with you. It's not really a conference, it's more or less a working clinic. That'll be in Orlando at the Hotel and Universal Studios, and you've seen the information on that. I just remind you that you want to get your bookings in there also, as we've I want to meet some of you. I think it'll be neat to get face-to-face and work on some of these issues. Okay, we're going to get started, and there should be some in front of you, which will constantly be changing as I speak. The topic is natural search engines, how to use our, well, I mean, there's different techniques, 20 that we've laid out so far right now, that it can increase your site traffic by 43%, lower your pay-per-click cost by 29% based on the report and the research that we've just put together. And I'm going to get into that. This is a controversial subject, and there's controversy even among my own team members on some of the key points regarding organic search. It changes all the time. So we'll get into it as we talk about it. I'll try to lay out for you where things yet need to be researched and tested, and yet findings that we've discovered that may make a significant difference. Previous report, we looked closely at optimizing sites to achieve a high Google page rank. That report is available to members in the lab, and it should be also a numbered link. What number is that, Brian?
That's number 8 in the list.
That is number 8. This is a very comprehensive report put together, and it involves not only the report, but a separate Word document that serves as a blueprint, and that blueprint will assist you in figuring out how to use Google PageRank. Techniques outlined in that report are an example of how you might begin to optimize your site for natural search engines as opposed to pay-per-click search engines. A word about the term natural search engines, it's kind of metamorphosized from what used to be called search and then became known as traditional search, and has also had several other names, but which is becoming, I think, best known right now, and we find it to be a good explanation in terms of a title, organic search or natural search. You know, natural in that it isn't, Google, for instance, offers both natural search and pay search or pay-per-click search, but natural search is the ranking you achieve simply because of the spidering work of the engine on your site. What other search engines besides Google and Overture and the pay-per-click should we be optimizing for our site? And with the predominance of pay-per-click engines, how important are natural search engines, and how much traffic can you expect from these sites? What techniques can you implement that will help improve your site ranking in all your natural search engines? Some of these are the critical questions that we've been ascertaining answers for, and I think there's three major questions we want to look at today. And the first one is, how important is natural search? By the way, you may think that question is obvious, but the truth is changed so much. When I first started working in search, there was 20 engines we worried about. There were 12 that were significant. That became 8. Now it's down to even less in the primary natural search front. And back in those days, you couldn't buy traffic. So it was all about buying the understanding that would allow you to get a high page rank. Also, the engines were built in such a way as there were lots of loopholes that you could utilize in order to fool the algorithms and get a high ranking. People did many things, masking and all kinds of obtuse techniques that somebody would write about, some which did not work at all, and some which worked real well until the engines found out and either changed or blacklisted you if you used them. Today, so much of a site's traffic, I had a call this morning with a research partner of a small company that it will do $8 to $10 million this year, and they're spending much money. I'd say the majority of their budget is on pay-per-click search, and that's what they've built their company on. And we have another research partner that spends about $10 million, maybe a little about $1 million a month, just on their Google budget alone. It's part of their traffic. So today you can buy the traffic. How important is natural search is a question that needs to be looked at, and I have some data related to that that I think you'll find fascinating. Secondly, which search engines are the most important to optimize for? And thirdly, and this will get very practical, what can you do to optimize your site for high rankings in natural search? And I'm going to lay out a series of practical examples for you, and we're going to actually not only talk about it, but we're going to look at various sites together. So you'll be needing to kind of follow along. We'll begin with the first question. Natural, traditional, organic search engines are typically defined as non-pay-per-click. Potential traffic from these sites is determined by how well you've optimized your site, not by how much you're willing to pay for a click-through. In the early days of the web, organic search traffic was everything. Now marketers can simply buy their way in using the pay-per-click engines. But what impact can organic search still have on your site's traffic? With that in mind, if you look at a chart, kind of break it down for you, it should show you Google Deal Time Overture Find What and Next tag. In the left column, you'll see the number of clicks achieved. In the right column, you will see the number of the amount of revenue, and in the column after that, you'll see the cost per click. Interesting to note, Google's average cost per click was 66 cents. Deal time was only 15 cents. But Google's traffic also yielded 71,000 clicks as opposed to 14,000 from deal time. For some reason, Overture was much less expensive than Google, and often it can be. On the other hand, Google can be utilized because of the fact that they weight click-through and not just your bid price. Google can be utilized in certain areas, especially emerging markets, be utilized to still achieve a lot of clicks.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Certainly.
Actually, Google, it's 6.6 cents, right, as opposed to 66 cents?
You're right.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at a printout. Let me just reprint a copy of that for clarity, and thank you. So you're 0.066, and deal time is 15 cents, or 1.152. Overture is 0.113, which... is a good point. And I'll tell you, if you're thinking that about getting a PhD, I would advise against it, because I'm working on a second and a third right now, and I still can't read correctly. Just an observation. moving to next tag, they're at 15 cents a click. So your total pay-per-click traffic is 90,000. Your total revenue is $7,357. And the bottom line of the chart, what you really need to understand is that the site was able to augment its pay-per-click traffic with an additional 39,160 clicks from natural search, which is an increase of 43%. What's even more important is that the average cost per click dropped overall as a factor of customer acquisition, 81 cents. So, and this is a test site that we worked with as part of this study, and we significantly increased the amount of traffic this site received from the search engines by optimizing its pages for natural search. And I think that one of the most important things about companies that I keep looking at over and over again, particularly retailers, but a lot of your service companies also, is that it was easy to go in and buy traffic. And so they went in and bought it. Often they bought it without knowing whether or not there was a strong ROI, but they certainly saw an increase in sales. Often they bought it unprofitably, and certainly in most cases they did not buy it at the best possible value because they didn't track from right down to the exact product sale connected to the exact search term. But in a very short order, they turned on a lot of traffic. This could never be done before, you know, in the old days, GoTo, but, you know, Overture and now Google and the others that have jumped in. The reality is it was quick. And so many, many growing and emerging leaders that I'm talking with across the industries are still not optimized well on the organic side, in the natural search side, and they're leaving a lot of money on the table. It's not only because they started that way, but secondly, it's so hard to keep up with the changes that you don't really know, you know, what works one week doesn't work the next. I mean, now they're saying that Google PageRank is not nearly as significant as it used to be. Not Google, but Google PageRank in terms of key factors. And as the industry changes, many frustrated merchants can't keep up. But as this data set illustrates, it's critical that you pay a lot of attention to organic search. And I've discovered that a lot of the companies that are profitable out there have a strong organic search. And part of the thing is they got in early and they got good search rankings and they've kept good search rankings. And because of that, they're more profitable. So we want to look at that. And we want to look at, first of all, which search engines are most important. And to do that, I'll let Brian refresh this information for us.
The chart should be there now if everyone wants to refresh.
You'll refresh now. You should be able to see some tables we want to talk about. We won't spend long on these. But I think that when you look at the chart, Google and Yahoo jump right off the page. Let me tell you what you're looking at. This is traffic for 6 months to a test site. The results were pulled from Web Trends statistics. It was metrics. Site used very little pay-per-click marketing, or the overture percentage would be much higher. The Google that you see is not Google PageRank. I'm sorry, it's not Google AdWords. It's just Google's organic search. So all of what you're looking at here is done with very little pay-per-click activity. As you can see, Google and Yahoo account for 92% of their search traffic. And I think it's also notable that during that a portion of that time period, Yahoo was taking its results from Google. So if you get right down to it, Google was driving the majority of the traffic to this site. Now, it was true in this case. It's also true with a Yahoo store that I'm going to have Brian refresh this. Store stats for this site for the same period. This site also used very little pay-per-click activity. And let's look at what it pulled. If you refresh your notes, you'll see a new chart there. Google, Yahoo, and MSN accounted for 88% of all search traffic during this test cycle.
Clint, can I ask a question?
Please.
One thing that I've noticed with organic search versus paid,
yes,
is there's a time element, meaning a longevity issue is what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Because, you know, we can take sites that have been indexed in Google for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and they're doing a ton of traffic from Google. But if you haven't been indexed very well in Google as of today, and now you want to get in there, you know, I don't know, it could take a year, and even then you might not be getting anything. So I'd appreciate if you could address the longevity issue and what your thoughts are on that.
There are a number of factors that affect it, not the least of which is just getting listed in DMOS. Jeremy's Brookins is probably online now, and Jeremy works closely in our search group, and some of you will recognize his name. Jeremy has taken the lead with working with DMOS with some of our research partners that have struggled over and over and over again to achieve a high ranking. And candidly, just getting in DMOS can take you a while. If it all goes well, you can get in there. Jeremy, what would you say is the average time to get in DMOS?
Oh, I've gotten it in 3 months, but I think I've got a couple that have stretched out to like 6 or 8 months.
Yes, and DMOS, if, for those of you, give us a one-minute definition of DMOS, Jeremy, for anybody that's not familiar with what I'm talking about.
Sure. Basically, the Open Directory Project, it's a volunteer organization that up until, you know, they it's a directory that powers a lot of different things. Basically, everybody submits sites, and then human editors will go and review the sites, and then they make their huge database downloadable for everyone. It's what it's Google's directory, and it feeds a bunch of different things. I think we put the Bruce Clay chart up that shows where ODT goes.
Okay. I don't know the answer to your last question, Jeremy.
That's link number three.
Yeah, that is URL number three on the list.
Okay.
The chart that shows which sites use DMOS's directory.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go there, guys. Go to link number three, and while you're going here, let me give you context, and then Jeremy can explain. I believe that was Roy Weissman that just raised the question. Was that you, Roy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Roy, by the way, I'll give him a commercial. Not that I'm getting compensated for this, but Roy is working with a new search engine. What's the name of that search engine, Roy?
Pocket Flyer with an I, FLIER.
Pocketflyer.com. Some of you may want to check that out. Sometimes getting in on these search engines early is a real key to maximizing the opportunity. We watch carefully these new and emerging engines. And so, at any rate, but here's the thing. Getting in DMOS is one of the initial steps in getting a high, getting recognized in Google, and that takes a while. And then once you're in, you're waiting on Google for its, you know, spidering efforts that take place. Typically, you know, they're cyclic, and you've got to get those. And if you miss the first wave, it can be a long time before you get hit in the second wave. And I don't know any shortcuts, but I will tell you this: the real secret, what's really emerged in the organic search market, the real key is not to build a site based on tricks, but to build a site that's a high-quality site that has a lot of content and that attracts a lot of incoming links naturally. If it's naturally a good site, you've got a strong chance of continuing to strengthen your position as time passes. But it is long, Roy. And I've seen some fast results, but they're not the norm. They're the exception. And this Bruce Clay chart that Jeremy's referencing here is a chart that will be helpful for us. Go ahead and, Jeremy, explain that to them quickly.
Okay. Basically, what it shows is you can see DMOS. It's in there. It's there in the middle, and it's feeding. It shows you where everything is being fed to, and which basically what that shows you is who's deriving their results based on the DMOS database. Where that gets important is that it. With Google and with Yahoo and there's a thing called link popularity, which is fairly important. What this does is if you can get into DMOS, it spreads you around to a bunch of sites, and it starts to get you inbound links. Those inbound links are pretty critical to make sure that Google considers you at least slightly important. If it doesn't consider you important because you don't have very many inbound links, you're not going to rank as well.
Good. Jeremy, we're having trouble hearing you. Speak closer to that. To your headset, if you would, please.
Okay, hold on. I'm having some connection issues.
Okay. Well, let's continue then. We'll talk more about DMOS a little bit later, but Roy, to answer your question, time is a factor, and the quicker you can get listed in DMOS, the better off you are. And sometimes we're working with a research partner now that's been trying to get in for maybe 8 months and still hasn't got in. Average time is about 3 months.
So would you say to get truly into Google in a reasonable way, you got to give it 6 to 8 months?
I would say that 8 months is a reasonable begin getting noticed in Google, and it could take you 10 to 12 months to really begin to see the full, you know, see the full benefits. And
yes.
And the worst thing is that later on, and this doesn't happen that often if you're consistent, but you mean you can lose your ranking with Google. You can get blacklisted accidentally, which we've had happen. I saw one retailer's volume drop off dramatically, and they basically lost their Google traffic. They lost that traffic for nearly 12 months before they could get it restored, but that was kind of unique.
One other 2-second question. Do you know if with Yahoo, with their new search thing, if they're getting DMOS information?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Yahoo has their own directory. It costs you $300 to get in it.
Right, but I'm talking about their whole Inktomi thing.
Inktomi is a separate entity completely. Inktomi is a real search engine, just like Google. And what they did was basically they bought the Inktomi architecture and absorbed it. So now, like Inktomi Spider, which is Inktomi Slurp, when you see it in your logs, it typically shows up in Yahoo Slurp.
And
so that's what's feeding Yahoo Search, but that's not coming from DBOS.
No. Okay. And there's a difference between a directory and a search engine, which isn't clear to most people.
Right.
But they do Spider.
They do Spider the DMOS directory, but they're not in any way affiliated with the DMOS directory like Google is.
Okay.
All right, so that brings us now
I'm sorry, can I ask a quick question?
Please, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
First name?
Claudia.
Okay.
You mentioned that it would take 6 to 8 months to get into Google. But I think you can submit a page or a site to Google, can't you? I understand that it would take that long to get reference there from DMOS, but...
And Jeremy can answer that. When I say to get in, I'm not saying to get into Google. I'm saying to begin to see significant results from Google.
Okay, thanks.
And to see your page rank go up and things like that, although that's not necessarily the most important factor, but it's critical.
Okay, thank you.
A factor, let's just say that. It used to be critical. Jeremy, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that basically I've seen sites get in about 4 days
right into
Google itself. You can submit, or if you know somebody who has another website, have them link to you on their main page. Just a small link that says, hey, check out this website or whatever. It needs to be visible to users, of course. But once Google spiders that link and sees that coming to you, you're in. It will take a while for you to actually get some ranking and start showing up well. There's a big debate on something called sandboxing, which is basically a time penalty where you haven't been in long enough and maybe Google is starting to filter out websites that are fairly new and kind of penalizing them a little bit. But that's a huge debate.
We don't know for sure. It's speculation.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good questions, and feel free to ask questions as we move along. I'm just going to try to keep this on track, but I'll answer questions as they come up. So let's move to the next thing. The bottom line, if you look at these two, incidentally, is that 92% of in the first case was Google Yahoo, and 88% in the second case was Google Yahoo and MSN. And from that, we can infer some information. First of all, there's similarities. Google is the top performer for each site, followed by Yahoo and MSN. These two test sites differ significantly, both in percentage of traffic from these top-performing sites and in additional sources of search engine traffic. Your mileage or your effectiveness or your success with each individual search engine will vary depending on your website's focus. You have to look at your own tracking program to identify your current top performance, and this may also help you determine your site's weaknesses or a key way to increase your traffic. The best resources we've found for general search engine guidelines there's a full literature review rated at the end of this report, which I'll not get into right now, except to mention a few things. But you can, when we send this, release this briefing, please pay close attention to the literature reviews. Those are easy to miss, but all those links at the end of the report have been carefully visited by our team members and ranked, and they're culled from many, many other things, and they're good opportunities. Jill Whalen does a really good job in writing on this subject, and we'd recommend that you look at what Jill's doing, and her forum is good. Also, Danny Sullivan, of course, is with Search Engine Watch, which he does a tremendous job there, and we recommend Danny's work. It's important to remember that many search engines derive their results from other engines' data, as we just talked about. I mean, Ask Jeeves gets its primary results from Teoma, and its paid listings from Google's AdWords. AOL Search uses Google's results exclusively. Yahoo acquired Inktomi, and it's now Google's main competitor in pure search. And it derives its other results from Overture's paid listings with its own directory. We recommend checking out the search engine relationship chart that we just talked about and understanding how getting in one engine can help you get in many engines. Which brings me to the real question, the real reason we're on the phone here, because I think many people already have identified that natural search is an opportunity. The real question is, how do you optimize your site for traditional search in the midst of all these changes that are going on? And I'd like to spend some time on that with you and get into the practical side, and we're going to get into some material that is a bit controversial, but we've created a concise list of 20 of the most productive changes that you can make to optimize your site for organic search. And beyond this, there's much more that can be said on this topic. And we're doing other research, and we'll be releasing other briefings very specifically related to this. But we're going to begin with these concise 20 steps that we think will help you, and these are proved to be have potential to be productive for you. And so let's begin with the first one. First of all, choose the right keywords. One of the first tasks you should undertake when optimizing your site for traditional search engines is to identify the best keyword phrases for your site. Which phrases have the most potential to drive well-targeted traffic to your site? There are a number of online resources that can help you identify popular search phrases for your target niche. You can use Overture's tool, and we have a shortcut to that. You have to, if you don't, it might be that most of you on this phone call are familiar with this, but I'm surprised how many people don't use it because it's kind of buried in Overture. But there's a link. What number is it, Brian?
That's link number 4.
Link number 4 you may want to click on. This tool allows you to type in a search term and see, theoretically, how many times it was searched in the previous 30 days on Overture. That can tell you which term is getting more valuable to you over another terms of traffic itself and traffic acquisition. Google also provides a keyword suggestion tool, and that tool is available at the next link, which is probably link 5. Is that correct, Brian?
That is correct.
And then there's Teoma. And Teoma.com, it's suggest-related search terms based on your search query. So you can go to Teoma, type in your search query, and see what other terms it suggests. You can use Google and you can use Overture's suggestion to see how popular those keywords are. There's another thing to do that I think is very critical, and we're going to get in this, and I'm skipping ahead to what might be one of my most important points towards the end, and I think it's a key point. I'd like to emphasize this for you, and then I'd like to help you to put the device to work. Probably the most significant thing you can do in order to improve your search results is to study your competition. I'm amazed at how many people do not truly take time to understand the competition's value proposition and to study how they're approaching their market. Whenever we look at a new opportunity with a potential research partner, it might be a new business unit we're going to test and start or test its viability. We're working right now with somebody who's from one of the large VC groups that is wanting to test the new business concept, and we're testing its viability. One of the first things we do is we scour the net for every form of competition. We find who is the best. That's not hard to do. Do that by seeing who's appearing the most in the search results, typically. And then once we've identified who they are, we take down their site in pieces and study it. I don't mean that we copy, do anything that would be unfair or do anything that we would think would be wrong or that we would think was wrong if someone did it to our own site. What we are trying to do is understand how they approach their market, and really we don't want to compete precisely with them. If there's somebody who's strong in the market, we may have to compete with one of them. For the most part, we want to define a new fragment and redefine the market. So, you know, even marketingexperiments.com doesn't really have the direct competition, certainly not when we started it, and because we're real unique in how we approach what we do here, and that keeps us from being worried about what they're doing over at Gartner or over at Forrester or one of these companies. We conduct primary research that's closely related to the real practical side of making marketing decisions about your tactics or your vendors. And so with all that in mind, my suggestion for you is to do a good competitive analysis, and one of the best ways to get good search terms is to see what search terms your competitors are using. Now, to help you with that, you can't get it yet, but we're going to actually give you a template for conducting a competitive analysis. In our last call that we did, where we studied in our last topic, we prepared a spreadsheet for you that we thought would help you to implement the things that we suggested. A lot of people felt the spreadsheet was helpful, and I had suggestions from other men who wrote us and said, you know, that was it really helped us a lot to do analysis. And I'd like to help you yet again with this competitive analysis template that may give you a tool for analyzing the competition and drawing out key information. If you think that's useful, we'll prepare that for you, and we'll release a link to that when we release this briefing. Would you like us to do that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. All these calls booked completely up. We were probably overbooked 20% for this call, but most people are quiet on the line. And I often feels like I'm talking to four or five people when I've got a full audience out there. But I know that when as I'm watching the numbers and the people that are coming in, that the people who are speaking up are, you know, people who are considered the very smartest people on the internet. I just wanted to point that out as an observation. I'm teasing you now. Let's go to which makes you very, very smart. You realize that?
I like that, Flint. That was good.
Because your input comes in. You're going to call.
Okay,
all right, so let's move on.
You said something before you made that comment.
All right, number two, select the phrases that are well-targeted and that offer the most traffic potential, but focus on 2 to 5-word phrases in order to minimize competition for terms. Optimize individual pages for just a few phrases rather than trying to cram them all into a single page. We'll explore this in greater detail in some of the following book that we have here for you. And then, as I'm starting to get to the rest of these, I'm going to give you a link to go to. Are we ready to go to that link, Jimmy?
Yes, it should be. Brian included it in the note there.
Okay. So if you will follow, if you will see the link, what link number is it, Brian?
That's the first link. It's titled Examples Page.
Okay, so go to the Examples page. We need to kind of reference that as we're moving through some of this material that I have in front of us right now. And some of this is debatable, and we'll talk about it as we get through to it. And I'll let Jimmy explain some of this here in just a few moments, too, as well. But we've built a page for you that has key examples of the key concepts that we're trying to communicate that will help you perhaps to follow what we're saying. We think that you should use strong keyword-rich text in your pages. However, be wary of going overboard in this type of keyword density, or you'll be penalized by some engines. Generally, repetition breeds results, but there's a fine line between ideal keyword density and what some engines will interpret as keyword spamming. And there is another big controversy about cramming. And let's take a moment to look at two sides of that, and then we'll move on in this report, because we're going to touch on it several times as we talk about some key points. The central question, how would you define the central question that is being debated, Jeremy?
The central question that's being debated?
Regarding keywords, yes, and cramming.
Regarding the keywords? I would say the central question right now is how much you can get away with and what constitutes keyword stuffing. I mean,
okay.
Give us a brief definition
of keyword stuffing.
Okay. Obviously, if you write your copy, and you want to write to that, even if you get the traffic, it converts. So you have to have good sales copy. But what they're trying to talk about is keyword density. How much of a specific keyword can you put on any one page before the search engines actually penalize you? So some people say 5%. Some people have said they've gone all the way up to 20%, which means 20% of the words on that page are that keyword. But then the debate, of course, is how much can you put on that page before you get in trouble with the search engines?
Do we have a link to the competition that was done with the search engines up here?
There should be one. There should be a link on there. I think it's the last link in the list. I'm not looking.
Yes, it is number 11.
Okay.
Or you can just go to Google and type it in. But it's
okay. We're in a minute, we're going to recommend this for you. This will be very helpful for you. This is a group of search engines that competed to see who could get the highest ranking. And part of it, the results were quite fascinating because they didn't do some of the things that you would expect. And we'll come back to that, I think, in just a little bit. But as we start to move to the chart that you have in front of you, I'll bring out some key points and I'll let Jimmy explain. First of all, Jimmy, talk about the difference between static and dynamic pages. And if you'll load us up there under elements, you'll see static examples and dynamic examples of a piece of code. Jimmy, talk to us about how that impacts your search ranking.
Sure. You know, there's a pretty big debate going on, you know, continuously about the effects of static and dynamic pages. And what you mean is, you know, database-generated pages that usually have different unreadable symbols and characters in the URLs, and then static HTML pages, similar like Yahoo stores that are generally the whole store is generated through a system, and the pages are posted in pure HTML, so they're not dynamic at all. And what happens is it makes those pages through Yahoo stores and other websites that have just straight HTML pages very readable in most of the search engines. With dynamic pages, what happens is in part of the URL and the coding, usually developers will use symbols listed here, such as question marks, equal signs, percents, and ands. And what happens is a lot of times the search engines, once they hit a character like that that's traditionally unreadable, they just will skip over it or ignore the page. Now, it's not every engine, and they're continually getting better. Sometimes you'll find that Google is usually kind of on the forefront of some of these things, and some more pages will be more accepting of question marks and little things here and there. But if you look at the examples, I put a static link, and the static link, what you'll notice is that they're just very clean. It goes directory to directory to directory to product, and that's it. If you look at the dynamic link below, you'll see all kinds of, you'll see question marks, you'll see equal signs, you'll see ands. And what that does is that's how the link queries the dynamic page to generate the page. It's basically choosing what IDs within that database or how the site is built to display the page. And what happens is it really does make an unreadable page because of the way the link is built. So the only way to really address that usually is either to build your product pages, your most qualified pages as straight HTML pages, or do the best you possibly can to reduce the amount or remove the amount of question marks and those types of symbols in the URLs. And so dynamic pages can be read just as easily as static as long as they're built really well. So, I mean, if you look at the Office Depot example, if they had a clean link, it would be that top link. But if you look at the bottom of the dynamic examples link, that's an actual link to their site. After the question mark.
I want to make sure that what we're doing today is helping you, and I don't want to overwhelm you with the technical part here. Let me just summarize, and then see what Jimmy's done here, because it's very good and it's very important. But I want to just help clarify. One, we've tried to establish that the organic search can overall reduce your CPA or your cost per acquisition of a customer, particularly your cost per click. Two, we're trying to look at what engines matter the most. Three, we're trying to understand how to optimize. Now, among the things we're saying that you need to do, we're saying that you can use these three tools that we recommended to figure out what search terms you should utilize. In addition to that, we're saying conduct a solid competitive review, and we're going to give you a template that will help you to do that. In addition to that, we're saying that you need to select phrases using a focus of 2 to 5 words in the phrase so as to eliminate competition. And in addition to that, we're suggesting that you need to try and focus on, if at all possible, static pages. They're still read overall easier than dynamic pages, but there are some exceptions to this rule. Now, I don't think that this gentleman that I'm going to talk about right now and get ready to shock is going to want to say too much. But one of the people that we have on this phone is, we call right now, is one of our research partners, who is the founder and president of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group. And he's figured out a way to work with dynamic pages and still get them indexed. And it's a brilliant workaround. And Stephen, I'm not asking you to give up the farm, but can I put you on the spot just to comment on the fact that it's possible and anything you want to say to add to this? Because I know this is a huge issue for many sites that we have on the phone right now.
Sure. Basically, what we do is we have coded the site so that the ID is pulled out of the URL. So normally where you've got that question mark and then maybe a page ID or a product ID to look up, you just include that in the URL without the question mark. And then when somebody comes to the site, we know to look for that number in the URL, and then we go get the information and display it correctly. So we don't have to have the question marks and the dynamic things in the URL that way. Search engines seem to have a much easier time with that because to them it looks like a static page that's going to be there for quite a while. So there are definitely ways that you can work around it. It'll depend on your platform, obviously. We use IIS, the Microsoft platform, and ASP and that type of thing. But there are definitely ways to code around it. It just takes a little bit of thinking through how the server works.
Steve is brilliant, and his site is superb. You may want to check out his site. You can go by the initials. It's sswg.swug.com or .net, .org, whatever. I think all three will get you there. Certainly
yep.
swug.com will get you there by redirect. But I appreciate your insight, and it's hopeful to see that some of these things that seem impossible are not, if you think about them and work through them, and Stephen's a good example of that. And so that's an element. I'm going to move on to the domain name. And this has been debated, and you can look here an example. We have keyword terms that we've talked here, and if you look under elements in your site, you'll see where it says dog supplies and dogsupplies.com. Dog supplies has the ranking, and then look at Jimmy. I'll let you explain this line to him if you'd like. We actually have the actual sites that you can look at. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. If you look at that first line where it says domain names, and you go over to two links on the right. If you click on dog supplies, that will do a search on Google for dog supplies, and what you'll notice is that the number one listing is dogsupplies.com. And then if you click on either their page or click on the link on the page that we supplied, you'll see the page, and that page is, I mean, look at the simplicity of that page. You know, it's really not a superbly built page. There's not a lot of you know, there's not a lot of really good keyword-rich copy or anything like that. The one thing, why we showed it as an example, this is an example that, you know, dog supplies, that's a pretty popular term. You wouldn't believe the popularity of some of these pet product keyword terms, and this term was chose specifically because it was pretty popular. And like I said, you see the site that comes up.
Right.
If you go to the other, if you look at the other listings for dog supplies, there's some pretty big players in the first 20 or 30. When you get to Pet Food Direct, you get to some other really good sites, dogtraining.com. I know iPet and some other good sites are in there too. So like I said, the number one listing for dog supplies is that. And one thing that we noticed was we feel that it has a, you know, there's something with the URL and using the keyword term in the URL for that listing.
There's a big debate about this, and our guys have debated it even today in this conference. And some of these people at the search engine competition that we talked about where they tried to get high rankings didn't use domain name. I'm trying to give you the other side. They didn't even use any specific domain name. But overall, you are much better to have a domain name, in my estimation, that is rich with your keyword, your primary keyword, not only because it helps you with the organic search. Whether it does or it doesn't, it remains to be seen. But it clearly helps you on click-through. It clearly helps you on branding. In the pay-per-click engines, if your term is dog supplies and your site is dogsupplies.com, you're going to get more click-throughs than a site whose name is, you know, neeps.com. We know it makes a big difference in those. It used to make a significant difference, I think, on the organic side, and I think it did in Google. And I've ran tests on this. Jeremy, I haven't even talked to you about these tests because these tests were done even before you were working with us. But try this. If you're in Google, everyone go to Google for just a moment and type in marketing experiments. Two words. Look what happens when you type in marketing experiments. You'll see our site is first, our site is second. The third link is a review of our site. The fourth link is another review of our site. The fifth link is not our site. It's also not a competitor. The sixth link is a reference to our site. The seventh link is our site. The eighth link is not. The ninth link is not. And then if you go to the next page, it continues with more of our site. And as you trace this, we're all over the next page, and we're all over the page after that. So what we do, I think our domain name has something to do with this ranking as well. And we're grateful that we've been able to achieve high rankings there. So having looked at those examples, I'm kicking back to the notes that Jimmy has from domain name, and I want to talk to you about keyword URLs and anchor text.
Can I have a question, please?
Please, go ahead.
This is Jagdish from NetStudio Corporation.
Yes, Jagdish.
Does it make any difference to have a domain name with a suffix .com versus .net or .info or .us?
I had a hard time understanding your question. Say it again.
I said
.net or .com?
.com versus .net. Let us say we have a domain name called webgraphics.com versus webgraphics.net.
My team is welcome to.
Would it make sense to go and get .net? And is there any difference in the click rates in getting .com versus .net domain name?
Yeah. Now the question is the difference between .net and .com in the search engines, and whether or not it makes any difference. And Jeremy, feel free to jump in, but I'm going to tell you what my experience suggests in this. First of all, in terms of getting a ranking, I don't think it makes any difference. But it does make a difference in terms of giving you another way to create an information page that might have some information. And it thirdly makes a huge difference in branding, because you don't want your competitor to own that other name and to go after search rankings with it. But from a competitive standpoint, it's significant that you own the other extensions. But as to whether or not it's going to get you a higher ranking, whether you're .com or .net, I would say no, but I'd add one caveat, and that is in the directories where there's manual, where there are people looking, like at a .com and other places. A .org sometimes, if it turns out you really are a nonprofit, I think they tend to favor groups sometimes that have less commercial sites, that have less commercial emphasis, where there's a human element involved. Would anybody add to that? Okay. All right.
Yes. Jeremy, my phone died, so I had to switch.
Well, we'll move on. I'm just suggesting that you ought to own .net as well as .com and .org, but that neither one of those three extensions may make any significant difference, certainly not between .net and .com. .Org in a directory that is has a human element that is making changes will sometimes, I think, get better attention. They'll check you out to see if you really are a nonprofit, because anybody can do a .org. But if you are a nonprofit group with lots of useful information, I think they tend to rank you higher than a commercial site.
Yeah, that's one of the big debates right now. Again, is that Google looks like it's starting to look like it's going to appear favor non-commercial content sites rather than retailers.
Interesting. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go on. Jimmy, explain quickly to us the difference. We're talking about keywords, URLs, and anchor text.
For the if you look at the two examples, basically by there's a lot of discussion about using keywords and in your anchor text and in your links, and how it basically would increase your relevancy to your site for those clicks. And these are two examples that we've used for the keyword term dog bone and a site called LTK Kids. And what you see is that the URL, some URLs are built where if you say for a product, say if it was a dog food, it would be product 216242. But if you had, instead of naming it product 214262, if you named it dog food or dog_food, something more specific that is a descriptive that a search engine can read, it will add to the relevancy of your page and possibly give you increased rankings. Now, like I said, if you look at the example and you click on that dltkkids.com link, you will see in your top URL bar how their link is built. Now, this site, as you see, it's another super-duper simple site. It has a top five ranking for dog bone. But it's about a dog bone birthday cake. But if you look at the page, the way it's built, they use the keyword text in the link. And their pages, if you look at the source code, they've done a good job with their title and headings for the pages.
And it's a front page site. It's a front page 4.0 site.
It is a front – you're exact. I mean, this is if you click on the earlier link for dog bone – and in the earlier column right next to the DLTK Kids site, you will see the listings for dog bone. And it's the number three. It's number three on Google for dog bone. I mean, so by looking at these types of sites, it's these types of competitive analysis, what we were talking about earlier, by taking your competitors in your same industry that have high rankings and comparing those pages to your pages, you're going to see the differences in code. This is one of the major differences we've seen between DLTK, bigger site like PetSmart or Pets.com or something like that.
Okay, let's move on. Now, is everybody clear on what Jimmy just laid out? Is there any questions about that? Please help me to make sure that we're getting through this and you're understanding what we're saying.
Hi, this is Jim Moore with CD Dimensions. I just have an observation, just
yes,
plugging
Jim, please.
Some numbers in. The domain name seems to work really well if, at least from the Google standpoint, if the page ranking of the results above it are not very high, at least with these dog examples. I don't know, in the marketing experiments that might be different, but page rank on these pages that rank so well is low, and I think if you get into some more competitive terms where big Best Buy and guys like that are in there, it might not hold as true.
Okay.
An observation.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I'm hearing an echo a bit. Is anyone else hearing that echo, or are you guys hearing clearly?
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo as well.
Yes, there's an echo.
Okay, and is it the echo from my telephone, do you think?
I've heard it from multiple people.
Okay, that's unusual. We'll look into that. I want to continue. We don't have much time left, and I want to invest it giving as much information as possible, but we'll make sure that it's system is working well. And our next call here, use appropriate. So let's move on because we've got another area here, location of keyword URLs and anchor text. Explain that briefly as possible, Jimmy, so I can keep rolling.
Basically, one of the main things when a search engine reads your site, you know, they go top down. So by including important keyword text or links or information on the page towards the top of the page where it can be read earlier than later is usually going to give you an advantage and help with your ranking. So this is just an example from iPets. And, for example, if you click on the link that says Internet Pet Supply, you'll go to a link on a search for on Google for Internet Pet Supply, and the number one link is for iPets. If you click through on that link, you will go to their page and see how the page is laid out. Now, they've done a pretty good job of having plenty of keyword-rich text for the words that they've optimized. Now, one of the things they've done, and I usually don't like sites like this that have, as you see, the first thing on the page is Internet Pet Supplies, but I think it helps contribute to their rankings because they have a number one rank in that. They also have a top five ranking for Dog Bone, which also goes to the home page. If you look on this page, you will see right under their logo on the top, USA Rawhide Dog Bones, on the right, the Wholesale Pet Supplies. So they have a lot of supporting information for these keywords that they're doing really well on. I said, Internet Pet Supply is another top. I mean, we went through literally hundreds of sites when we did a competitive analysis for one of our partners, and the competition between some of these dog sites and the keywords was pretty amazing. And so these are some of the keywords that we looked at that were real popular, and these are some of the things we noticed when we went page to page doing our analysis. It's how some of these pages are designed and laid out, which follow the SEO optimization, you know, the different debates that are going on right now. And just giving you a really good example of how these changes.
So the key is to put special emphasis at the top of pages because spiders will do the same.
Exactly.
Relevant keyword text is more important here than lots of images or irrelevant text. And candidly, if you look at the way we design pages, we believe that you should have appropriate text up there that defines your value proposition anyway. And it should define, for instance, if one of the reasons people should shop with you is because you offer more products than your competition, then you need to say we offer 7,943 different widgets here. And so, you know, welcome to PetSupplies.com. We offer 904,783 pet products. And BizRate ranks us at 5 on customer service. When you say those types of things with third-party credibility and with specifics, you increase not only your search ranking capability, your ability in your search terms, especially if you word it just correctly, but you also increase the number of people who click away or click into your site as they recognize that you might be the place that has what they're looking for or that you might be the place they need to stop shopping. You have only a few seconds to ascertain or to secure that thought, and you need to go after it with your greeting text very, very effectively. So let me move on then. To meta keywords and meta descriptions, and we have 7 minutes left, and we're going to invest them right up to the last minute in trying to help you with information here. You'll notice naming conventions. There's a bad way to name products and a good way, and there's examples that we've put in here for you so that you can see that. And then you'll notice, it's pretty straightforward. I won't spend too much time on that. But we also mentioned search for dog bone comparison of Google, which is non-meta engine, and Yahoo meta engine site in question, which I know just sounded very confusing. But I'll let Jimmy quickly clarify that, and then I'll summarize what we're talking about. They're not the magic solution, but they're useful. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Google does not, you know, take the meta tags into effect for their rankings, whereas some of the meta engines like Yahoo does. And what we've done is just a real quick comparison of the search term dog bone once again, one on Google and one on Yahoo, and you'll see that the site Dog Bone Factory is almost, the homepage is almost entirely an image, but it has a number one rank on Yahoo for dog bone, whereas I couldn't even find it on Google for the search results under the search term dog bone. And the only difference is that they have really good meta description tags and keyword tags And that's really the only thing that the search engine is going to be able to read on their site for their homepage, which is the number one rank on Yahoo for Backbone. So you can see we're including meta tags, it still should be a mainstay of your page design.
So although meta tags are not the magic solution they once were in the web's infancy, they can still be useful. And there's a great article on Search Engine Watch. What link number is that, Brian?
One moment. It's labeled meta tags explained on number 7.
Number 7. It may be a very useful link for you to look at if you're thinking about how to improve your meta tags. Let me go on to a few more key points. In all tags, put keywords close to the beginning of the tag. Writers will often ignore everything after the 6th, 10th word, which is approximately 65 characters. And title tags should be keyword rich, and the most important keyword should be near the beginning of the title. An effective title tag can have a significant impact on the ranking of your page. Another point, some search engines will grant more weight to keywords contained in special tags, such as headings, or heading strong, or emphasis tags. Some will do that. Number 13, give your pages relevant names. We've talked a bit about that. And an obvious point that needs to be said because I keep running into it, avoid overusing graphics or flash animation. Writers can, they read text, and so text-heavy pages stand the best chance of achieving a high ranking. And you run into some of these difficulties, too, when your whole nav structure is image-based. You take away some of the real, it can really cut into your rankings. All right, so quickly here then, there's a point about alt tags that is down there that I think you could take a look at. The incoming links to your site is exceptionally important. We've discussed some of that in the past, and how to do that and how to do it right. Any comments on that would you like to make, Jimmy or Jeremy?
I mean, the incoming links, obviously, we've done provided some information before on how important that is and how to effectively do that with one of our earlier articles. What you're going to see here is just a really quick comparison of these types of sites and the number of backlinks that they have. If you look at the DLTK kits, that is one of the sites that we're talking about that just naturally gets backlinks. They don't do anything to get those types of links. If you look at the page, it is a super simple page. If you look at their Alexa ranking, it's 11,000. You get a tremendous amount of traffic, and they have a super high Google PageRank, and you can see how the PageRank almost coincides with the number of backlinks of these sites, which also is the importance on your website as it goes through the traditional search engines, and you're getting your rankings.
Now, with regards to DMOZ, we've put together 8 steps to help you with your DMOZ listing and what to do if your site still does not show up. We're going to send that to you as part of this report. There's critical information here about how we work with DMOZ. Jimmy submitted to DMOZ and got his site up in 3 days, which is pretty remarkable. But it's quite useful if you get into those things and if you find that will help you with this. The recording for this conference will be sent to you. Along with this recording, we'll send out the report with all of the information detailed and each of the key steps and more examples and with a literature review. But let me ask you this. When we send the report to you, is there an area that we haven't covered in this conference? And I know we haven't covered everything that I have in the report because we can in this time frame. But is there an area that is significant that you'd like us to address when you get the written document? Is there something here that we might include that you think would make what we're going to be sending to you stronger or more useful?
I would like to suggest what would be helpful at the top of the report, you say, these are the top 5 things or 3 things or whatever key number of things that you should do. Do these 3 things, you're 70%, you know, the big thing.
Yeah. Of the 20 that we are laying here down, we'll try to emphasize, you know, probably the top 5, Brian, that we think will make the biggest significance, and that's a good point. Is there somebody else with any thoughts? Is this information in this report helpful to you? Is it too complex or not complex enough?
No, it's very good.
Good.
Yeah.
It's helpful, and it can be more complex if you'd like it to be.
Okay.
I think it's very informative, but just a little lack of time, I guess.
Okay. All right. We thought about doing this in 2 sessions. This is, you know, 60 minutes is our limit on this session, but we may do a secondary session on it to cover more information. If you think that's a good idea, send us an email or let us know, and we'll consider doing extending this and doing two specific sessions on it. We've talked about it all day today as we've been working and thinking about what we're going to try to share with you today. Also, the forums have a lot of great information on this. Go ahead. I think I've heard my own echo, and I'm answering myself. That's a bad sign. All right. Well, we're going to sign off.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The one thing that would be really helpful probably is to list maybe the top four or five search engines, and then maybe two or three tips that are specific to those engines. And
okay.
Just in a really basic table so that people know that, you know, like Jimmy was saying, meta tags might have more impact on this engine than that engine, and then people can kind of sort of walk down the path and know what to address to get into the different areas.
Yes. And I think, you know, looking at the samples that we have right now is good, but it'll be a lot easier for you when you're looking at 20 steps sequenced out like I have in front of me currently. And I think that tying those in and talking about the specifics of the engines, although some of this is a bit of speculation with each engine. And so we have to, we can tell you what we think, but there's some things we don't know for sure. A good point. We'll do it. All right.
What, one more thought, if I could.
Sure.
You mentioned keyword density, and that's always been mysterious to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's, you know, any sort of strict number, but any information about that would be really helpful.
I would really recommend that you also go to this link number that Jeremy or Brian, tell me what the link number was to this competition.
That's the last one, number 11.
I would recommend, first of all, that you check out this link number 11 because it's quite revealing what occurred here, and these guys all competed to get top rankings, and the way they won was a surprise, and some of it has to do with this debate. And Jeremy, is there anything else you'd recommend as a resource on the keyword density?
Well, there are some keyword checkers. Trying to figure it out.
I'll tell you what, email, go ahead, if you have an answer.
I was just going to say, the easy answer is basically write your copy and use pronouns, but use them sparingly. So whenever you can get away with using your keyword phrase and it's not going to screw up the flow of the text, use your keyword phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your title tags, put it in your meta description, your meta keywords. And that stuff, and you'll be okay. There is no hard number. It's completely up for debate. But I would say if you can figure it out, don't go any higher than probably about 10%.
Great. That's really helpful.
10%, does that mean 10% of total keywords or 10% of a particular keyword?
10% of total keywords. 10% of total words on the page. Basically, yeah, don't go crazy.
One keyword, I think he's talking about keyword. That keyword should not comprise more than 10% of the copy or key term.
Okay, so a particular keyword should not comprise more than 10%, not the keywords put together.
Or keyword phrase,
Does
that count the meta descriptions and keywords?
No, meta description is separate.
The 10% is not a hard and fast number. Typically, we count it in the body text as separate from the meta tag. But, you know, you don't want to overload your meta tags anyway with the keyword repeated over and over again. So I doubt that the meta tags itself are going to have too significant impact on your 10% fact on your 10% number unless you're just overloading your meta tags.
Right.
So it's probably not significant. Point. Any other quick question there?
You can ignore that with Google because Google doesn't even look at the meta tags.
Yeah.
So really, in reality, don't even factor that in. Just look at it as all of the other factors, like all your AdWords, your copy, and you know your title tag, that stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that you know Google's going to look at is pretty much a good basis of what everybody's going to consider going overboard.
One of the things, too, I'd like to ask you, I don't know how many we still have on the line here, but it's really worth asking you this question because it helps us plan our experiments, and pretty soon in the forums you'll be able to just give us this kind of feedback directly. But what research in this area would serve you the best? What would you like us to answer? What's your biggest question about organic search that we might help you to answer? Anybody want to hazard an answer, a question to the guest of that?
Yeah, this is Rick from Circuit City. The biggest thing for me would be as times change and as algorithms change for these different search engines, maybe the top five things that we need to focus on. So, for instance, you know, years ago, meta descriptions were probably the biggest thing. now possibly keywords in the title and the body, and I guess maybe how the trends are changing over time would be the biggest thing for us.
Okay. Okay. Very, very good.
Just a quick note on that one real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the one thing you can count on never changing there and what's becoming more and more important with the search engines is what your users can see or what they should see.
Explain that, Jeremy.
What I mean is your title tags,
yeah.
Your headers, your copy. Those things are becoming more important, while your meta descriptions, your alt tags, and you know your file descriptions and stuff like that are becoming less important because they're so open for abuse.
And Rick, I would add to that. I think that in general, there's a trend, and the other trend, starting with Google and now moving outward, is you know they judge you a lot by the way other visitors are judging your site, and the incoming links is still a critical key here. Real links.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a factor for a while because it's probably one of the most effective ways to determine whether a site's truly serving its readers or not, or its users. So incoming links is big as well. And we'll work on that for you, but those are quick responses, and it's a great question, and we'll continue to do that. You really can't do a briefing on organic search, per se. We've tried to give you, in this briefing, we're going to work on the top 20 things and then narrow that down to a subset of the smaller list. But our subsequent briefings will have to focus on specific issues of organic search because it's too big a topic to cover in one report. And I think that helping you with individual changes and individual engines will be critical. All right, guys, listen, we appreciate your time investment. And feel free to email us at any time and help us to know how better to help you answer your questions. And we want to keep refining and improving the way we're doing this. And so thank you for your input. And we'll
thank
talk
you.
With you soon at the next briefing that's coming up on optimizing pay-per-click campaigns with regards to subscription sites and optimizing your website's landing pages. Okay?
Thank you very much.
This is great.
Thank you, guys.